This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues, then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
Accelerate your culturalization of America.
But when the Dems use the argument that we're all immigrants, but, you know, I want to turn into the Tasmanian devil with two clubs in my hand to clear the road. There were immigrants that came here because they wanted to be here. They wanted to learn the American. They wanted the American dream. You cannot get the American dream speaking Spanish.
Fast, drunk, and stupid is no way to live your life, son.
I'm going
to
deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, maybe even get you a little embarrassed. Don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
You're always so stupid. I need to take lessons.
You're just despicable.
Welcome to another session of Sanity right here on The Real Side. I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. And that you stayed awake this long is even better. William Federer will join me at the after the next break. And you want to talk about American history? You want to talk about what our founding fathers had in mind? You want to talk about the miracles throughout the years of this country? He's the guy to talk to. Plenty of books on American history, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Anyway, hey, Trump pulls it off in Indiana. How did that happen? Right? How in God's creation did that happen? Because according to Cruz, the Indiana was his. He had Indiana. We want to prove it. The guy is the flake. No, listen. You all making fun of Kasich. What about Cruz? I mean, with the five states last Tuesday, remember early on he said, we're going to take those states. We need those states. We got a good ground game. Trump has no ground game. Trump is a liar. Trump is this. Trump is that. Unlike my opponent, Donald Trump. I told you, there's something about Cruz that just isn't playing right. And now what happens? He loses the five states, and what does he do? He backpedals. They weren't that important anyhow. We're not going to get those in a general election. They're not in play for us anyhow. They don't mean anything to Republicans. Like, is this guy, what is this guy on? You know, what drugs is he taking that's got him all over the place like this? And now tonight, right, losing Indiana and Kasich. What is he waiting for? Is he waiting for the lightning bolt? Is he waiting for God to write on the wall? Get out. Remember the old movie Poltergeist? Right? That's what Kasich needs. He needs to be laying in the hotel room some night. Just hear the voices in his head go, get out. And now Cruz is having the same, I don't even know what you want to call it, like a Groundhog Shadow day for him, right? He's coming back around, and again, what's he saying? Well, Indiana wasn't that important. Well, it was important last week, and the five that you lost last week were important 2 weeks before that. So make up your mind, right? Come on, you with me on this or not? I know some of you are your Cruz supporters to the end. I got it. I know what it's like to... Yeah, have your man start to fail. I mean, again, I was with Scott Walker. God, I was disappointed with that. But the bottom line with it is, you know, Trump's going to take it all the way through. He is going to be the nominee. Unless Cruz does something deceitful, I believe Trump will be the nominee. And all you Republicans over the years, you conservatives, I'm sorry, I'm going to blast on you here. You keep talking about the will of the people. You've been for 8 years talking about how the will of the people have been skirted. You're mad at the mainstream Republicans because they're not listening to you. They're not listening to the will of the people. The will of the people are choosing Trump, and you're blowing them off. Doesn't that make you a hypocrite, too? Now, you could say, I don't agree with the will of the people, because I think Trump is going to be a disaster. That's okay for you to say that. And you'd be right in line with what we've all been kind of saying and working through for a long time. But for you to say, there's no way he can win, we've got to find a way to get Cruz in, that's not the will of the people. Not when you know, again, we've been told that Trump can't get over 50%, but he's done that several times now. for the will of the people. Now, the one I really like are the Democrats. I mean, Hillary had it all over Sanders in Indiana for the longest time. And it's too close to call. I love this. Don't you? But again, like I said, you know, what did we hear about? This is what scares me about Cruz. He something wrong with his meds. He can't keep making up his mind. We have a better ground game in Indiana than Trump has. We have a better this than Trump. We have a better that than Trump. We actually even have a better Trump than Trump. And he lost. And it wasn't even a close loss. You know, if he lost by a couple of points, then he could come. Then he could come back at this and he could say, "Hey, look, we obviously didn't get our message out properly. Yeah, we lost by 2%, and that's close enough to say, hey, we were almost there. We were just late to the party." Then he'd have something to step back on, but he has nothing to step back on. Absolutely nothing. Anyway, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spend with me on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, being part of the conversation, 855-REAL-JOE. Guys, this is a very important election. And I know some of you are very upset. I've got your emails. Some of you are very upset with me over the fact that I'm not on your page. I'm not pushing your guy Cruz. I'm not pushing Trump either. And I'm sure not pushing Kasich. In no way. That guy scares me. At every level, he scares me. He's won one state, Ohio. And his whole claim to fame is, hey, polls show that I'm the only one that can beat Hillary. And no Republican has ever won. God, he's insane. No Republican has ever won the presidency without winning Ohio. I am the only candidate that has won Ohio. And I'm going, wow, my God. That is definitely left progressive logic. I don't want him. For that reason alone, I don't want him. So I don't know what you conservatives are going to do. You hardcore Cruz conservatives, you're kind of screwed, aren't you? Hey, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Hang tight. William Federer joins me after the break. You don't want to go far, I'm telling you. You will enjoy this guy. Anyway, you are listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional item. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. I appreciate the time that you're spending with me on the air, in a chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Listen, I want to get to my guest because I have such a good time when he's on with me. William Federer, or Bill Federer as I know him, is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc. It's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble history. Now, Bill's American Minute Radio feature broadcast daily across America and on the Internet. Bill, thanks for being with me. I always appreciate your time with me.
Great to be with you, Joe.
You know, I talk about, I know during the break I was telling you what we're going to talk about, but when I hit this little piece on you, we talk about America's noble history. It seems that some people only want to talk about America's dark history. They want to talk about, you know, slavery and what it did, to groups of people that came here from Europe. But we are one of the few countries that go out of our way to work harder to right those wrongs. We don't live in that. We don't. Am I wrong, or are we just stuck there?
Well, when you contrast, there's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. right? So in America, the abolitionist movement was the Republicans. The Democrats had slavery in the states. The Democrats started the KKK and so forth. And so it was a Republican-led movement to abolitionists and free the slaves. There's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. There's never been an Islamic Abraham Lincoln. Because the dilemma is that Muhammad owned slaves. And so for them to condemn slavery, they would have to condemn Muhammad. And so Islam enslaved an estimated 180 million people in Africa, plus over a million Europeans. And so there were whole Catholic orders in Europe through the Middle Ages called the Trinitarians. The head of the order was called the Ransomer, and they would collect alms and donations and go under a white flag to North Africa to get your friend back. Whole coast of Italy didn't have a woman of childbearing age for generations because the Muslim pirates would come up, sort of like Boko Haram, or capture the women and take them, sell them into harems. And so they had slavery for 8 centuries before America was ever discovered.
Wow.
And so that is some of the background. But slavery, when you go back, the most common form of government in world history is what? It's kings.
Correct.
Pharaoh, yeah. Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsars. The beginning of human writing was Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley around 3 or 4,000 B.C. And so we're around 2000 A.D., so that's around 6,000 years of recorded human history, which in a sense is not that long. 6,000 years is just 60 people living 100 years each back to back. We're talking 60 grandmas, and you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history. But the most common form of government is what? It's kings.
Right.
They go by different names: Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, Emperor, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Tilda Hun. And it's very hierarchical. So if you're friends with the king, you're more equal. If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're a slave, or you're dead. It's called treason. And so this has been the norm. And as these kingdoms go on, the kingdoms get bigger and bigger and bigger. Genghis Khan kills 30 million people from Korea to Hungary. You have the Muslim sultans and the Byzantine emperors and the king of Spain, France, and Austria. Aztec Mexico had slavery, and they would capture people in battle and, you know, take them to the top of the temples and tear their hearts out to the sun god and so forth. And so it was a norm, unfortunately, for world history. When America was breaking away, we were breaking away from the most powerful king in the world, the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And he controlled 13 million square miles and a half a billion people. And America decided we didn't want the king thing, and so we separated from it. And Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration got rid of slavery. It condemned the king for having stopped every effort of the colonies to end slavery. But a couple southern states wouldn't go along, and out of the immediate pressure of the situation, they said, well, let's just get free first, and then we'll worry about slavery. How today we wish they would have stood strong and got rid of it at the very beginning, would have saved us a civil war. But slavery was on its way out. Slavery was outlawed, the importation of slaves, in 1807. But what happened was, with the Louisiana Purchase doubling the size of the country, and with the Mexican secession adding another 500,000 square miles, there was this rush to bring this new territory into the states as slave states. And so now, what was on its way out at the time of the founding is now getting a resurgence. And so you had a Christian-led Second Great Awakening revival, which sent missionaries to, you know, Caribbean and Burma and Hawaii. But the Second Great Awakening revival fueled the abolitionist movement, a Christian-led movement to end slavery. And,
you know, Bill, some people would say that, you know, Jefferson had slaves, Washington had slaves, and, you know, it was kind of disingenuous for them to be fighting to rid us of slavery when they owned them themselves. What would you answer them?
Well, you read the history. There was the abolitionist movement just getting going at that time. And so, again, during the colonial era, the King of England stopped every effort of the colonies to try to get rid of slavery. A bunch of states tried to get rid of slavery, but the king wouldn't let him. The Quakers kept bringing up getting rid of slavery. So often it was called the Quaker Memorial. It's like every time you get Quakers together, they're talking about ending slavery. And so once we broke from the king, now was this idea that, hey, let's do this. So you had two different groups. One said, let's transition out of slavery. You don't want to take these people who do not have an education, they cannot read, they don't have certain skills, and just put them out of the house any more than you would have your teenage son pushed out the door when he doesn't know how to support himself.
Right.
And so you had this one group that felt like it was a more responsible avenue to take your time. And here's Robert E. Lee's wife training the women to prepare them for freedom. And she was teaching them to read, teaching them how to sew and weave and mend. And so it was this movement that was starting in America. The abolitionist movement, they were called radical Republicans. They said, end slavery now. Let's just end it. And yes, it solved the slavery issue, but it also created other problems where you had lots of people that couldn't read, and so it ended up becoming more dependency on the government. But slavery was wrong. It's always been wrong, and it's been the Christian faith. It's been Jesus said, I came to free the captive. You see, you know, Hammurabi's code about the time of Abraham, it had slavery part of the code, and it was very hierarchical, where Hammurabi was exempt from following his law because the law was the king's will. And so it was this stratified society. And so when we go back, it was actually Israel that came up with the idea that everyone is equal, and male, female, made in the image of the Creator. Where every other country was, it's this God, King, people line. That the Creator gives the rights to the king dispenses it to the people. And so since the king is God's lieutenant, he gets to decide who benefits him as more equal and who doesn't benefit him as less equal. Israel's this, where it came up with, it said, every man and woman's made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger
hit a quick break, and we come back. I want to talk about the current political tone, and have we ever seen that in our history before? I'm Joe Bastida, your host. You're listening to The Real Side. GCN Live. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go far. More with Bill Federer. Really, don't go far.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cuffs, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The EPA says the air in our homes is up to 5 times more contaminated than outside air. The solution is not just to filter your air, but detox it. UVforLife.com now offers a doctor-recommended UVforLife.com sterilization unit to kill over 99% of viruses, bacteria, molds, and dangerous chemicals. Go to UVforLife.com. Add promo code GCN at checkout to save $100. That's UV, the number 4, life.com. UVforLife.com. Don't just filter your air, detox it.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food stores are love to eat. Yum!
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Seems everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive to my video game.
I got a nighttime camera. I saw the color TV.
Are back. I'm Joe Mastin, your host. And let me tell you what, with 92 million Americans out of work, maybe more, you better be buying American made. Right? That's my personal opinion. Okay? I am Joe Mastin, your host. You're all listening to The Real Side. Appreciate the time that you're spending with me. I want to get right back to my next guest. Love it when he's on the show. William Fetter is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Now, Bill's American Minute, and you should go grab it. You should go listen to it. We'll put the links up on our website. His radio features broadcast daily across America by the Internet. His faith in history, television, on TCT Network, on stations across America. You got to check this guy out. If you haven't heard him before, you haven't grabbed any of his books, head up to his website and check him out. Bill, again, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Listen, let's jump into the current political tone. I mean, everybody says that we've never seen anything like this. I can't believe, you know, even Newt Gingrich said, I wouldn't even know how to run for president today. Is that entirely true? I mean, is this something unique that we're seeing happen today?
Well, when you look at the global quest for power, again, 6,000 years, there's this eternal drive to rebuild the Tower of Babel. And with kings and pharaohs and Caesars, it's the lust for power. And it's always there. Unfortunately, I think it goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel. So you put some babies in a playpen, one of them takes a rattle from the others. Put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball. Put some girls in a junior high clique, one of them is the diva, and if you're not her friend, you're ostracized, right? Put some people in the inner city, one of them is the gang leader. You put them in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief. It's just this norm, this lust for power. And, we've seen it before. You see Plato, 380 BC, there was this experiment in Athens called the democracy. Athens had a king named Draco around 600 BC, and he had the first written laws. Prior to then, kings would rule by their whims and their caprices, and you could get killed one day and praise the next. And so the people said, look, Draco, at least write this stuff down so we can have some structure to our lives. And he did. He wrote the first written laws for Athens, but it was the death penalty for every other thing. So they're called draconian laws. Very, very harsh, right? Well, they get a new king, 592 BC, called Solon. And Solon invented democracy and left town, so they had to do it. So in a democracy, everybody every day had to go to the market and talk politics. And if you did not keep up with politics every day in Athens, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. And so if there's a king and you have an agenda, you got to get in to see the guy. So the Chinese emperors would have 2,000 concubines and the Mandarin eunuchs would keep them. And you have to bribe these mandarins with money just to get in to see the emperor. Well, in Athens, they had no emperor, no pharaoh, no king. The people made the decisions. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch it to the whole city? Well, you get them together in a big outdoor theater, and you put on plays, comedies, and tragedies. And so in the comedies, you'd ridicule, buffoon certain points of view, and the tragedies, you'd honor and extol as noble other points of view. And people would leave the theater saying, I don't want to be like that poor guy that was ridiculed to death. Like Saul Alinsky says, ridicule is the most powerful weapon. And so from that time till now, theater is always political in a country where the people make the decisions. So think of your favorite sitcom, movie, or show. There's a character you identify with. They're cute. They're funny. They're the hero. And as the series goes on, this character begins to make morally compromising decisions. A little lying, a little cheat, a little lust, a little revenge. And you find yourself apologizing for him, saying, yeah, I know James Bond is with a woman he's not married to, but he's about to save the world. So can we get on with the story? And it minimizes something that before was a big deal in your life. And then they usually make people that hold to old traditional values look like simpletons and bumpkins and idiots and backwards. And by the time you turn off the show, you're like, I don't want to be like that guy that was made a fool of. And the other person, they were cool. And so theater is always political in a nation where it's the people that are making the decisions. So what happened in Athens? Well, they 380 BC, Plato, he was the disciple of Socrates and the teacher of Aristotle, who taught Alexander the Great. And so Plato said that the city government would go through five stages. He said it was first rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses. They know how to run city governments. They're just really responsible people. He called them lovers of principle and truth. They do a good job no matter what you say about them. The second group wants to get involved in politics. Plato called them lovers of fame, lovers of honor. These are people that have no experience actually running anything successfully. They just somehow got famous. Maybe they were a Greek actor that everybody liked or a Greek Olympic athlete. And because they love fame, they hate being defamed. So this group, you can manipulate by public opinion polls. Right, so the first group, they'll do what's right no matter what. Second group, they'll bend based on the winds of public opinion. And since they don't actually know how to run stuff successfully, the second group is tempted to take a little money out of the city treasury to pad their retirement, a little money to some brother-in-law's construction company, a little money to some supporter that can funnel it back into their campaign. And before you know it, it turns into a third category called an oligarchy, a rule of few, an insider clique. Plato called them lovers of money. These are people that raise taxes on everybody else, but they exempt themselves. They pass laws that everybody else has to obey, but they exempt themselves.
Well, that sounds like the Congress we have today.
Yeah, and if you're their friend, you get the pork, you get the projects, you get the insider dealings, you get the waivers, and if you're not their friend, well, you get taxed and audited. It turns into a division in society of the rich connected and those that are not connected, and they're poor. And, Plato says, then comes the fourth category. There's domestic unrest, and the people throw the bumps out, and they set up a democracy. He says, at first, a democracy is the most charming form of government.
I like that.
It's like a bazaar where you can pick any viewpoint. It's like an embroidery patchwork with lots of colors, and the chief characteristic of a democracy is lovers of tolerance. So you go from lovers of principle and truth to lovers of fame and honor to lovers of money to lovers of tolerance. It's great. Everybody tolerates each other. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off. And then they're tolerating crimes and crooks and immorality and all kinds of terrible things. And nobody cares. And then Plato says it creeps into the family. And the sons are disrespectful to the fathers. And if you correct them, they just shake their head and walk on. And then he says it creeps into their morality. And Plato says the manner of Democrats, and that's his word because he's describing a democracy. He says the manner of Democrats is every man does what is right in their own eyes, and the young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Yes, that's what he's talking about. And this society begins to crack, fall apart, and then they begin to raid the treasury. And they say, look, it's a democracy. All we got to do is vote, and we can spread this money around. Well, then the treasury's empty. And they say, where can we get more money? The rich people. They vote to take the money from the rich people. Now there's no rich left. Now there's a shortage. And they begin to say, well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. Don't take from my Social Security. Don't take my welfare. And it turns into this chaos.
Well,
and they
wait
begin
a minute.
To bicker and fight. And then they begin to say, can't someone come along and fix this mess? And that's the fifth stage. Someone comes along promising to fix it all. People surrender their rights and freedoms. And the next thing you know, he turns out to be a tyrant.
Now, Bill, I think you've adapted that to to the current government. That's what I think you've done.
It sounds like what we have
BC.
Now.
You know, it was 380 BC that Plato wrote this.
Wow.
And, but I wrote it. It's all in my book called Rise of the Tyrants, my brand new book. But anyway, so it's interesting. As they're seeing this domestic chaos and they're begging someone to come in and fix it, up comes this last stage, this person that Plato says at first he appears above ground as a protector. And he's very eloquent and gives these great speeches and people fall in love with him. And then they begin to see him get too powerful. And they cast it in his teeth that he's getting too powerful. And he has the choice, get rid of power, which he is not inclined to do, because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. And so he purges his administration and his military of anybody that has virtue. All that he has left is yes men, because he just wants people to do what he tells them. And then it says, who does he get to replace his former friends? He frees the slave, the criminal, the convict, the illegal alien, and he arms them, and they become his mob that goes around and punishes anybody that disagrees with him politically. Finally, he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant. So a democracy is a temporary form of government and only lasts as long as the people have morals and virtue and self-control. When they give up their morals and virtue and self-control, turns into this chaos, which out of which they beg some leader to take over, and he turns into a tyrant.
Bill, we got to go for a break again. You know what? If somebody had tuned in the middle of that, they would have thought you were talking about our current government. I couldn't see how they wouldn't think that. Anyway, we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to talk about how dangerous it is that our young people really don't understand our history. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You listen to The Real Side on GCN Live. Hey, hop up on the website, therealside.com. We can watch live, listen live, take the poll. Lots going on up there. Don't be gone too long. You'll miss a lot, I promise.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset Jeans, here to wish you all a Merry Christmas. For over 20 years, we have built a loyal customer base with 100% American-made jeans featuring enhanced fit, comfort, durability, and style. Today, all of our inventory is discounted by 20%, so don't delay. Enjoy a wonderful shopping experience at Gusset.com. Thanks for keeping our American dream alive, the original Diamond Gusset Jean.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the run list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
I can't make up my mind. I haven't got a brain. Only strong.
How can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
I don't know. But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?
Yes, I guess you're right.
We're back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spent with me on the air. In the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation, 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. I want to get right back to my guest. I always love when he's on. I never have enough time for him. William Federer joins me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He's also got, listen, head up to his website. I'm going to put it up on the website, and we'll put it up on Twitter here in a minute. And you got to check out what he's got going on. He's also written a book recently called Rise of the Tyrants. And tell us, forgive me for saying it this way, but give us the Reader's Digest of what the Rise of the Tyrants is about.
Well, again, it's an overview of world history, and the most common form of government is a king, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, and as America decided to break from King of England, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible.
Right.
So they took the power of a king, broke it into three branches, separated it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. All the Constitution is, in a sense, is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of the king. Unfortunately, after every crisis, we see a gradual reconcentration of power. So it was great that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, a lot of rights went from the states to the federal government. It was great that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to get us through the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs.
Wow.
It was great that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty with his great society welfare state, but he concentrates power into the federal government. It was great that George Bush wanted to make sure there was no more terrorist attacks, but he concentrates power with the NSA and the government reading all your emails.
Oh, yeah.
And now the new president, no matter what the crisis is, the answer is the same. Let him have more power, and he will take care of it. The problem is, when you do, you are fundamentally transforming your form of government from the people ruling themselves back to a king.
Yep.
Now you add to the mix philosophers that have noticed that in times of crises, people will relinquish their power to a leader. I mean, even in Rome, when they had, during their republic era, a crisis, they would appoint someone as a temporary dictator, a term that lasted for 1 year, and the famous one was Cincinnatus. They get him off his farm, he leads them to victory, and then after the year's over, he goes back to his farm. But they understood that in times of crisis, you have to let somebody be in charge. And so, 500 years ago, Italy was a bunch of city-states, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena, and they all had armies and navies and fought. And a guy named Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop the infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means, the end of one prince controlling all of Italy. It's such a good end, because it'll stop this infighting, that any means necessary to get there is justified. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince conquers the city, they would hate him. But if he paid criminals to kill cows, burn barns, create crisis and terror, the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in, kill the very criminals he bribed, nobody would know the better for it, and they'd praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, and then you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher, and they'll pay anything for it, and thank you for being there. So it's called Machiavellianism, where you create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. That influenced somebody named Hegel. If I have a minute, I'll share on him.
Yeah, you can, but I want to get to the young people. But go ahead, share on him.
Well, real quick, Napoleon conquers Germany, Prussia very easily, and afterwards the king says we need to strengthen the state. And so Hegel says the state is God walking on earth, and he came up with something called Hegelian dialectics to concentrate power. How does it work? It's a triangle. One corner is a thesis, the opposite is an antithesis or antithesis, and the top corner is a synthesis. It sounds complicated, but it's not. In other words, you start off, then you create a problem that's real bad. And everybody is happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. That becomes the new thesis. You create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. You do this over and over again until the people move from ruling themselves back to a king. And so Karl Marx said, well, how do you create a crisis that's real bad? Well, you send in agitators, agent provocateurs, provoking agents, community organizers, labor organizers, and their job is to find the fault lines, the tension lines just under the surface. Find the people who have grievances, who feel like they've been wrong, and you organize them, and you rub the resentments raw until violence breaks out and there's bloodshed. Then everybody is willing to let go of their freedoms to have order restored. And so they would organize the proletariat against the bourgeois, which is the working class against the business owners. They would organize the blacks against the whites, the Muslims against the Christians, the Catholics against the Protestants, the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda. They really don't care who the two sides are. Their goal is a destabilizing crisis that is so bad, everybody's willing to surrender the freedoms. Now, it works best if the people are not Christian. Even Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have poor Christians, they'll just suffer. But if you get rid of Christianity, then you just got raw human passion. And you say, you want what they have. You've been wronged. You have grievances. Follow me. We'll help you right it. And then you organize them, and they overthrow the government. And then a dictator takes over. 45 countries fell to communist dictators this way.
Wow.
People say, well, communism, isn't that where everybody owns everything equally? Well, let's think just a little deeper. Who decides who lives in the nice house and who lives in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator. So every communist country has a dictator. Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Kim Jong-un. The Communist Party members are the new royalty. They get to live in the nice houses, the nice neighborhoods, the nice shops to shop in, and the people are the peasants. And so we're back to this spectrum of power. One side's total government, the other side's no government. No government's anarchy unless people have internal morals and virtues. Israel was the one who came up with the motivating force, because why would you follow an internal moral or virtue? Why would you deny a selfish tendency? Israel introduced this important ingredient, a God who was watching everyone. He wants you to be fair, and he will hold you accountable in the future. So you're about to steal, you know you can get away with it, and then you think, God is watching, he wants me to be fair, he's going to hold me accountable, maybe I should hesitate stealing. And it creates something in your head called a conscience. If everybody in the country believes God is watching, he wants me to be fair, he's going to hold me accountable, everybody's motivated to follow these internal morals, and you can have complete order in society without policemen following everybody around. Maximum liberty and freedom. Now, it only works with a God of the Bible. An Islamic Allah God says, well, there's an infidel woman there, you can rape her, it's okay, you can lie to this infidel, that one. The God of the Bible says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. That every person, male, female, is made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger living amongst you is under the same law that you're under. You compare that to the Islamic dhimmi status law, where a stranger has no rights. And so as long as you got this God, the system works. You get rid of this God, then you just have internal morals. Why keep them? Some will out of habit, others are going to say, forget this, and they're going to rob and steal, smash windows, have riots in the streets, set buildings on fire, and then the people are going to beg, please, government, come in. And they'll come in with their militarized police and go house to house and collect everybody's guns, and yeah, they'll restore order, but when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country back to a king.
Yeah, I'm amazed at people. Again, this goes back to what we were going to talk about, and still will to a degree, is how if our young people don't understand how history works, if our young people don't really know how we got to be the country we were, I'm putting it that way, we were, we could easily end up back in a dictatorship. We could easily end up back in a kingship type of thing, couldn't we?
Right. Well, there's a communist tactic called deconstruction. And it's you separate a people from their past, get them into a neutral where they don't know where they came from, and then you can brainwash them into the future that you have planned for them. It's a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I would do is to say negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using. You're using that old stuff. It'll eat the enamel off your teeth. Ooh, you're repulsed by it. Now I have you into a neutral. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpaste out there nowadays? And then I can give you my pitch for this tartar control breath freshener. And so they go to the kids in the schools, and they say, well, America's founders owned slaves, took land from Indians. They were chauvinists. Ooh, the kids are repulsed by them. Now you got them into this neutral. Well, they're sort of open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there nowadays? And then you can give them your pitch for the LGBT and socialism and Islam and so forth. And so Europe went through this. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past, right? It used to be Catholic, then a Protestant Reformation and had neighborhoods. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular neutral with the French Revolution. Robespierre putting a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral, covering her with a sheet, said this is the goddess of reason, let's worship her. They turned churches into temples of reason, chopped off 40,000 heads in Paris, and Napoleon spread this French secularism all around Europe, and Europe became secular. And they say, hey, bring in whatever you want, the gay agenda, and now Europe's becoming Islamic. And there's, the Europeans are having one kid per family. Muslims are having multiple wives with lots of kids per family. The number one name for newborns in London, Milan, and Brussels is Mohammed. There's 5 million Muslims in Paris, and they're taking over neighborhoods, and they're putting up signs saying ZUS, Zonas Urbanas Sensibles, Sensitive Urban Zones. And 10 years ago, there were 3 mosques in Germany. Today, there's over 200. The number one crime in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark is Muslim immigrant men raping European women. Most of southern Holland is Moroccan Muslim, and the Europeans are scratching their heads thinking, how did we get here? Well, you went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular, free sex, LGBT, anything goes neutral. Now you're going into an Islamic future. It's this drive, neutral, reverse scenario. And so it's being applied to America. Once that happens,
we're
a temporary period.
Yeah, we're up against the time, but I'm going to do something special here. We're up against the time. Just bear with me for a second. You're listening to The Real Side, not the right side, not the wrong side, but the real side of the issues. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live.